Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, I've often said that God raised up Barack Obama to align the nations for God's return. And what I mean by that is that Barack Obama was permitted and would be permitted to advance the goals of global government, advance the goals of Islam, and to advance the goals of the establishment, in addition to emboldening the enemies of Israel, which they really are all a part. And he did, in fact, do just that. However, God surprised the world, and he raised up Donald Trump. It's my belief that God is permitting this president to expose the enemies of America, the enemies of Israel, the enemies of freedom, and enemies, really, of God himself and his plan. And by so doing, his decisions and policies are causing the counterfeits, the double dealers, the bribesters, the purveyors of fake news, and those enemies of freedom that were emboldened by Barack Obama to expose themselves bit by bit, kind of like forcing roaches from the darkness into the light. Now, I don't have the way to describe it, but something of significance seems to be going on, ladies and gentlemen. That's the best way I could describe it in my thinking. Now, we're going to use those thoughts to frame our program today, and it's going to be framed around the question of this: are President Trump's enemies destroying themselves? So just kind of keep that in mind as we walk through the program today. And with that, I welcome you to the Wednesday edition of Standing in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohr, and I'm going to be joined by Dave Kistler and Gary Dahl. And to provide us key and insightful analysis of these many significant international events we're about to get into, we're going to be joined again by our recurring guest, IQ Al-Rasuli. He's the author of a trilogy of books entitled Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. He's an expert on Islam, the Middle East, and he's also an international geopolitical policy expert. And his name is, again, IQ Al-Rasuli, a former Iraqi. He now lives in exile in Europe. And with that, I'm going to jump right into it and welcome you to the program today. Calling in from overseas, IQ Al-Rasuli. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
IQ, I'd like to start right out with you in this first segment rather than holding you into the second or third, because we have so much to go through here. You heard me refer to just a little bit ago about Barack Obama's promotion of globalism, Islam, and the embedded establishment. We've actually talked about those things in past programs. The candidate Trump of last year ended up identifying all of these. He actually named them, those three. And they were enemies of the United States. They are enemies of Israel. They're the enemies of the Constitution. I think all of us have come, if we didn't understand it then, we see that. But these enemies, not necessarily being led only by the investigation under Mueller, but certainly it is a key point. He's continuing to go forward and investigate everything under the sun, throwing a broad net, trying to establish some kind of a collusion and Russian connection to invalidate the president's election. But he and the deep state continues to roll on, and they're digging and spending vast sums of taxpayer dollars to try to distract and weaken the president. He's attacked regularly. We see it from all sides. Yet on the other hand, the deep state, at least at this point, has not been victorious. Now, I want to tie into this whole theme here today. You made a statement to me just some time ago that, in fact, Trump's enemies, despite their efforts, are actually destroying themselves. And I thought that was intriguing. I'd like you to explain your statement in an overall sense. What do you see happening, and what do you mean by that statement?
Everything you said is accurate, by the way, regarding Trump and his enemies. Look what's happening. All those people in the Hollywood who denied Trump's victory, who called Trump a sexual predator, who insulted him, who denigrated him, every single one of them turned out to be a hypocrite and a predator. They are literally flushing themselves, literally, in the sewer. You know what? It's said that when the gods want to blind the people, to destroy them, they blind them. But blind them what? Not physically, no. Blind them to truth. blind them to facts, blind them to reality. And this is exactly what's happening. Mueller will not find anything. There was no collusion. There was absolutely no reason for Trump to have a collusion. None. So all this digging, as you said, wasted money, wasted effort. They will not find anything. And they are literally, for over a year now, what have they found? Zero. So they are destroying themselves. If you want to look at it from the divine point of view, yes, he was chosen. I never thought otherwise. When he said he will be a candidate for the presidency, and he said why he wanted to be the candidate for presidency, secure border, jobs, America great, and so on and so forth. Every single one of them was perfect. Music to my ear. I supported him from the very moment he declared what his intentions are. I never had any doubt he would win. And I said it before. The day, literally the evening before the countdown, I went to sleep. Some other friends of mine said, why are you asleep? I said, why should I worry about it? He will win. Enough Americans were inspired and woke up to face reality and facts. Enough.
IQ, let me ask you this. One of the things the president is supposed to do today about 1 o'clock Eastern time is declare Jerusalem to be the capital of the nation of Israel. Now, some are saying what he's doing is poking the Muslim world in the eye. He is fostering more conflict. We do know the president is not going to be bullied, whether the bully is North Korea, Iran, China, Russia. He just refuses to be bullied. My question to you is this. Is the fact that he is standing up to the enemies of America, is the fact that he is evidently going to declare Jerusalem the capital of Israel, is all of that facilitating the potential for more conflict, or is it actually going to prevent conflict by positioning America from a position of strength?
It will be the exact what you said, the second option. I want Americans to understand this. It's very important. For 1,400 years, Jerusalem was never the focus of any Islamic thought, neither politically nor religiously, except if and when either Christians or Jews point out its centrality to their faith and their history. The name of Jerusalem is not mentioned even once in the thousands of verses of Muhammad's Quran or Hadith, which are the traditions about Muhammad. In fact, in the Hadith, Jerusalem is called Beit al-Maqdis, which is the exact transliteration of the Hebrew name for Jerusalem, Beit HaMikdash, meaning the Holy Sanctuary.
IQ Azrasuli, ladies and gentlemen, stay with us. We're going to come back. We're going to go now. We're going to talk about the potential impacts and of the already pushbacks to the anticipated statement of the president about Jerusalem. We're going to go deeper into the subject. You heard IQ just set it up. Stay with us.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr.
Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, last evening, President Trump, actually last evening and yesterday afternoon, the president was busy calling world leaders, including Arab and Islamic leaders in the Middle East, stating his intention today, which now appears to be just after this program concludes here, that the president was going to make his statement relative to the recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, along with some commentary relative about the moving of the embassy. At least that's what's anticipated as of the time of this program. The opposition from expected quarters in Egypt, Lebanon, Jordan was quick, but none was so threatening as that of the president of Turkey, President Erdogan, who warned President Trump that if he declared Jerusalem as the Israeli capital, that it would be a, quote, red line, end quote, for Muslims, and that he would convene an emergency meeting of Islamic states, and that Turkey would cut off diplomatic ties with Israel. Now, as I'm making the broadcast here right now, the spokesperson for the Turkish government has actually upped that statement a little bit more in his rhetoric by saying this, that if the United States' decision is to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, it will plunge the region and the world into a, quote, a fire with no end in sight, end quote. And this was Prime Minister Bekir Bozdag of Turkey who just said that. And in addition now, the president of Turkey has actually, pierced anyways, have already called for a meeting of Islamic states. So they're lining up. The anticipation is significant. Now, the question is, what's going to happen? IQ, let me go right into you right now, because as the point we're making this broadcast, and I'm asking you, the president has not exactly made his full statement. We don't know precisely how he's going to choose his words. I think we're going to have to listen carefully to what he says. But nonetheless, something is going to be put on track to recognize Jerusalem as the capital. Just before we went into the break, you made a statement about the name of Jerusalem and how it appears in the Quran, but wrap that into my question to you, is that how significant is the decision as we're anticipating it to be, and what would you, in a general sense, look to be the overall response from, say, Arab leaders, Islamic leaders in the Middle East?
Well, let's get this straight. Erdogan, like all Muslims, will always threaten violence unless others grovel to their diktats. Muslims never debate. They either shout others down or shoot them down. And those who do not believe me, just Google a website called Memri, M-E-M-R-I, and you'll have a lot of fun watching Muslims' so-called debates. Muslim leaders have always used mob violence to intimidate or exterminate others at will, who are invariably unarmed civilians. The tragedy is the reality that many Western leaders would rather grovel and try to delay the inevitable, looming, and final confrontation with Islam than say enough is enough and counterattack with a mighty hand. What the Muslims are trying to do, as usual, is to threaten, to intimidate, and to subjugate Western civilization. Donald Trump is doing something that no other president has ever done. He is doing something that no other Westerner has ever done. Israel doesn't need anybody to say Jerusalem is her capital. Like America doesn't need anybody to tell her that Washington is her capital or London is the capital of England. Nobody tells the other nation which is the capital of the state. All he is doing is saying, yes, historically, look what they're doing in the United Nations, the Arabs and the Muslims. What they're doing in the United Nations, they are perverting history. They are contorting, twisting, and convoluting history by saying Jerusalem and the Holy Land belong to the Arabs and the Muslims. Ladies and gentlemen, the Arabs and Muslims very conveniently ignore the fact that it was they who grabbed the Holy Land from the Byzantine Christians circa 637 AD, invaded it, plundered it, subjugated it, occupied it, and trampled upon the rights of Christians and Jews until its liberation by Israel in 1967. They used the obscene rules of the Charter of Umar, the standard used to intimidate, humiliate, subjugate, and force hundreds of thousands of Christians and Jews to convert to Islam to escape its despicable ordinances. Israel made the worst mistake after the historic victory in 1967, the Six-Day War, by allowing the Muslim clerics to continue their control of the Temple Mount, because they erroneously thought good and meaningful gestures would bring rapprochement with Muslims. It was a huge blunder, because the Israeli leaders, most of whom were born in Europe, like the absolute majority of our clueless current Western leaders, never read, let alone studied Muhammad Quran.
Yeah, you
and
know,
they read only chapters 2. Sorry, go on.
You know, IQ, it's interesting you mentioned that nobody really needs to think too hard to realize that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And, of course, we can read back 4,000 years and see back during
the
days.
What is the problem?
That's it. You know, what is the problem? Because you go clear back to biblical times and back to the times of King David, and we see that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. One of the things that concerns me, IQ, is that ever since 1972, at least, presidents or presidents-to-be in the United States of America had said that they were going to move the embassy from Tel Aviv over to Jerusalem, and all of them have backed down. They've not had the courage to do it. And it appears right now that only Donald Trump is the one who has the courage to do it. Now, if he does that, how do you really think that the Palestinians and Hamas and all these other groups are going to react? Will the Islamic world back down and admit defeat? Or will they have to have a war to prove that they really want to stay right there in Jerusalem?
What kind of war do they want? They can't start with, if they start a war with America, they can nuke them. Mm-hmm. What kind of war? They will start violence, definitely. Islam is violence. I said it. They only deal in violent manner. When, look at them, what they're doing in the Yemen. Look what they're doing in North Africa. Look what they're doing in my country, Iraq, in Syria, in Lebanon. What is it? Muslim killing Muslims and murdering them in the mosques. We are not safe from Islam. Nobody is safe from Islam, not even if they are Muslims of a different sect.
IQ, let me ask you this very quickly, if I could. The point you said that you're making about Islam's killing Islams and no one really is safe, I'm just wondering if Erdogan of Turkey is going to take this announcement today, if it is what everybody's reporting it will be, the president saying Jerusalem is the recognized capital of Israel, is he going to take that and use that and meet with these Muslim nations as a pretext to attacking Israel or perhaps even attacking Saudi Arabia or maybe a combination of both? I mean, is he going to use this in that way, do you think?
Look, Erdogan truly believes that he should be the leader of Sunni Muslims as the Khalifa or the Caliph, just as his predecessors were for almost 500 years before 1923. The dictator Erdogan utterly demolished the secular Turkish state that Kemal Atatürk created after the collapse of the Ottoman Empire. He has turned the clock in Turkey from the 21st century to the 7th century Arabia. Since he took power over a decade ago, He abuses NATO alliance with the United States of America, forbidding Americans from using Turkish bases to attack Saddam Hussein for Iraq. He is not an ally. He is the enemy of America. He is the enemy of Israel. He is the enemy. Every Muslim, please, I know I'm raising my voice, but it is so obvious. Every single Muslim, being Muslim, being Sharia compliant, is the enemy of every single human being on planet Earth who is not a Muslim. Why is it so difficult to accept that?
Well, you made that very
clear on television.
You've made that very clear, IQ, on a number of occasions. And I want to go back here and just pick up on something that you said about Jerusalem. So I want you to repeat what you had said earlier about how the Quran refers to Jerusalem, because I'm looking right here again. Here, there's a statement by the prime minister today from Turkey who is saying, quote, declaring Jerusalem a capital is disregarding history and the truths in the region. It is a major injustice, cruel, short-sighted, foolish, madness, end quote. Tell us what the Quran actually says about Jerusalem again. Tell us, please.
It doesn't say anything about Jerusalem. He's talking garbage, Erdogan. Every Muslim talks garbage. Every Muslim is delusional because they cannot defend the indefensible. What is the indefensible? They have no history. They say about Palestinian people, $200,000 says no human being on planet Earth can find in the whole of 6,000 years of his recorded history a state called Palestine and a people called Palestinian. $200,000 I'll pay.
Hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, You are listening to Stand in the Gap today. Our special guest, IQ Avrasouli. We're talking about Jerusalem right now, but some statements here made extraordinarily important. Palestine, never mentioned. Jerusalem, not in the Quran. Ladies and gentlemen, Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Hopefully the president's going to make that clear. It's going to create issues, but it's only stating what is a fact. Stay with us. We're going to come back right up. We're going to pick up with another emphasis. They're talking about now North Korea and what the president is doing there and what we see happening there.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap today.
If you're just now joining us on Stand in the Gap today, we are so privileged to have you as a part of this program. Again, many folks listen to the program live, but the majority of those on our over 425 stations who listen to this program do listen to it delayed, some an hour or some several hours later, depending upon where they are in the country. But we're glad that you are with us, and we always try to deal with current issues, those things that are of the greatest importance to us as Christian citizens, as American citizens, and do it in the light that actually takes and puts together some of the parts that sometimes can be confusing. Connect the dots is often what we say. Now, if you are just joining us, you're going to want to go back and pick up parts of the program we've just dealt with. Do that by going to standinthegapradio.com. You can listen to all the archives there. If you've not downloaded our free app on your iPhone or Android, I strongly encourage you to do that. Very convenient, very easy. Just go into your app store and enter the phrase Stand in the Gap. That's all you need to do. Download it, and then you can have it. You can listen to this program live, or you have to miss it. You can pick it up at your convenience. Our special guest today is IQ Avrasouli. He is an author. He's often with us here on this program. He has written a trilogy of books entitled Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. He is a former Iraqi. He lives overseas. He's not in America. He lives in exile from that country. But he knows the Middle East, and he knows Islam. He knows Israel inside and out. And it's our privilege to have him on with us today. Now, let me get right into it again with our guest. I want to go now from what may be this matter of Jerusalem in the Middle East and the president's announcement, which we'll talk more about tomorrow once we know what he has said. But I want to go to the north, to the far east now, to North Korea, because there's another hot spot in which the president has engaged. And we talked about that the president's enemies are exposing themselves and destroying themselves. Well, that's also happening there, I think, to some extent. South Korea and the United States are engaged in major war games there right now. Over 400 planes, dozens of ships, tens of thousands of troops are engaged. a strong signal being sent to North Korea that the U.S. means business under this president, means business. It didn't mean anything under the former president. Yet, North Korea continues to fire missiles. Everybody now knows they can hit the mainland United States, Washington, D.C. even, with a major payload. Something's got to be done. The president has sought over the months to try to persuade China and Russia to become engaged and to put the brakes on North Korea, yet they have either refused or said they couldn't do anything about it. And they've actually threatened the United States, both of them, China and Russia, that if we did anything against North Korea, they would come to North Koreans' aid. Very interesting. So the president has once again forced the Chinese and the Russians to take sides. And here again, they're there on the side of terrorism, North Korea. Question is, what's going to come up next? So IQ, let me go to you here. In simple terms, North Korea has continued to defy all the warnings. Instead, they seem to actually want war, which doesn't make sense because I don't hardly think that they can win. However, they must make either a decisive, proactive move against the United States somehow, or the United States, I believe, under this president, is going to take out their missile sites and destroy what they have worked from. There is a choice coming, and it's probably coming quickly. Your opinion or your view, what's the outcome most likely as you observe this situation? Us going first or North Korea actually making a first really bad move?
But we have to give some background to the people. Every week and all and every month of delay allows North Korea to perfect its delivery missiles as well as put on larger payloads, as you just said. The USA never threatened North Korea's existence, while their current delusional leader, Kim Jong-un, has been threatening nuclear holocaust upon the USA and actually implementing his threats with missile launches. For 40 years, the United States and the United Nations have been groveling and appeasing the North Korean shark without an iota of success, because the communists have been much smarter than their spineless and clueless appeasers, who have learned absolutely nothing from what happens when people succumb to and placate thugs such as Hitler. It is about time that the prime ministers of Japan and South Korea declare publicly that they will go nuclear, starting the instant their constitutions are changed. Such declarations will shock China a great deal and will also worry the little terrorist, Kim Jong-un. It is unreasonable under the current political and military circumstances that Japan and South Korea should depend on an American nuclear umbrella, hoping the United States would go to a nuclear confrontation on their behalf. This was a logical idea when the pragmatic and rational leaders of the Soviet Union were the enemies, but not when the USA is confronted by rogue and terrorist regimes such as Iran and North Korea, who have been colluding on advancing their nuclear capabilities for decades. What America should appreciate is that Trump inherited this very hot potato from his useless Democrat presidents, Clinton and Obama especially. I honestly think, from my point of view, America should start a preemptive strike.
IQ, let me ask this then. If we were to act preemptively with respect to North Korea, we're engaged in the Far East. Is it possible at all, or is it likely, or maybe it's more probable than anything else, that Iran and all of its cohorts would then attack Israel while we're engaged in the Far East? And there was a very important meeting this past weekend at the Reagan Library in Simi Valley, California, where many of our nation's top advisors really were cautioning about our preparedness to fight on two fronts. So if we engage in the Far East, what happens in the Middle East?
Not the same. You don't have two fronts. I don't know what these people from California are thinking. You're not invading a land. You're not using troops to invade. This is missile technology. This is remote control technology. This is nuclear technology. No, you don't need to do. They're not two fronts. America can handle everybody on the planet Earth at the same time, because nuclear, it's missiles. You're not landing anybody. You're not dropping people by parachute. You don't need to. And if Iran wants to start a war with Israel, they will not survive either. What, you think Israel is a peanut country? True, it's small. It's only 8 million people, 8,000 square miles. And Iran is 80 million people with 600,000 square miles or something. It's irrelevant. Israel is a nuclear power. Israel has the technology. Israel has the facilities and the capability to completely annihilate all her neighbors. Don't take my word for it, believe me. Don't take my word for it. They haven't been sleeping for 70 years. Mm-hmm. They've been preparing for death and destruction for 70 years. It is the only nation on earth, from the day it was born till today, is threatened by death and destruction. No other nation, only Israel.
Well, you know, IQ, I've often said that Israel really doesn't need anybody to defend them because they can certainly defend themselves. And I agree with you 100% that, you know, if they were attacked, then certainly I believe that they would come out on top. I don't think that they would come out on the bottom of anything because, number one, I think that God has given them wisdom, and God himself will take care of them as well. But let me just go on a little bit. You know, ISIS has constantly threatened to use Christmas as a season for attacking both the United States of America as well as Europe. And we realize that just yesterday an ISIS assassination attempt was against United Kingdom's Prime Minister May. And, you know, she narrowly averted getting killed. My question to you is, do you believe that ISIS is sensing a new day under President Trump and is feeling they need to do everything that they can to ratchet up their attacks in a more internationally coordinated strategy?
It's very important that our listeners digest the following unpalatable fact. There are no shades in Islam. Every Muslim of every sect read exactly the same book called Quran. All Muslims are mandated by Allah Sharia to have all of humanity either submit to Sharia or be exterminated. ISIS is a pigment of imagination now. Every Muslim is a member of ISIS. Every single Muslim on earth is a member of ISIS. And there are two shades. You remember, I gave you an example. Islam is like a spear. The tip of the spear are the ISIS and the jihadi war people. The shaft of the spear are the so-called moderate Muslims, the ones who are not committing mass murder. But together, they are exactly what they are, Sharia-oriented. Islam is a spear, is deadly. There are no shades. Whether ISIS is destroyed in Iraq and even in Cambodia or in Russia is irrelevant. Every Muslim is a potential mass murderer. I know it sounds outrageous, but look what's happening. Donald Trump showed three videos, which are real, by the way. They are real. And Theresa May attacked him. But Theresa May was going to be assassinated by the very Muslims she is protecting.
That is an incredible statement IQ. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to need to move on here to the next segment. But ladies and gentlemen, we're in the midst of a conversation here that is extremely important. No shades in Islam. It's like a spear. They're all together. We have to understand that. When we come back, we're going to talk about Saudi Arabia next and how they pulled together the 41 coalition member states and basically said that they were committing to wiping terrorism off of the face of the earth. Now, think of that in light of what IQ just said. And when we come back, we're going to put that together and show how that can't be.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com. With Christmas just ahead, what does Christmas mean to you? Do you approach Christmas with God's view in mind? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network and another Stand in the Gap Minute. At creation, when God created man and gave him life, he planned to give him even more, a redeemer. You see, the Christmas gift promised at creation was a demonstration of the love and mercy of God to a fallen and sinful human race. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Because he loves us, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the Creator, became like the created, holy God, yet holy man, for you and me. Make sure that this Christmas is first about redemption, accepting God's gift, then sharing that gift with others. The American Pastors Network, pastors preaching the truth, equipping people to impact the culture for Christ. Visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net to find out how you can help.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
His name was Nicholas, and he was born to a wealthy elderly couple in what is now Turkey in the 3rd century A.D. A teenager when his parents died, he entered the monastery and eventually was ordained bishop of the coastal city of Myra. Known for his generosity to the poor and for many miraculous answers to prayer, he confronted the pagan worship of Diana and was cruelly imprisoned during the persecution of Emperor Diocletian. When Constantine ended the persecution of Christians, he attended the Council of Nicaea and helped write the Nicene Creed. A true saint, Nicholas died this day, December 6, 343 A.D.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, as we swing into our final segment of today's very, very fast program, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue now on this theme that we just talked about a little bit in the last segment. Our special guest, I.Q. Arasuli, made a couple of very profound statements. He's made it before, but I'm going to emphasize it again. We're talking about ISIS and their potential threats regarding Christmas, and I.Q. is making it very, very clear that, understand, there are no shades in Islam. You may have the point of the spear, ISIS, but the shaft that makes it possible, the ones that are not out there necessarily blowing themselves up, are the ones that are equipping them, propelling them, supporting them, and they're all wrapped together. That's what IQ has made very clear just a few minutes ago, but also many times before. Now, we're going to move now into actually connecting some of this, because there is an appearance of some major change taking place in the Middle East. We've talked about it a week ago on this program, but not with IQ, and I want to ask his commentary on this, because if you all remember, just about a week ago, Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman gathered the heads of over 41 mostly Sunni nations, perhaps all of them were, into an anti-terrorism meeting. It was a big deal. It was well announced and so forth, but the result was a declaration coming out of that group of Islamic leaders, led by the Crown Prince, saying effectively that this coalition, historic coalition, would eliminate terrorists. Now, ostensibly, he didn't say it, but I think the world believed it to be Muslim terrorists. But he said, we're going to eliminate terrorists from the face of the earth. Now, the question that I've asked, and I want to raise, and I'm going to ask it to IQ, is can this coalition, out of which came, really, ISIS, Saudis, who fund the United States and European mosques, holding the mortgages of 90% of the over 3,000 mosques in the United States that funded and, in at least in part, planned the attack on the Twin Towers on 9/11, can they be trusted to eliminate Muslim terrorists? Or was this meeting pure symbolism, a distraction, carefully staged, perhaps, to advance terrorism? So, IQ, I'm going to ask you this very short question. Will Saudi's bin Salman, in his effort there with that coalition to eliminate terrorism, will it eliminate terrorism, or will it perhaps create more terrorism?
The short answer to your short question is they will not succeed, and they have no intention of doing it. I'll tell you what happened. Bin Salman is trying to close Pandora's box that the Arabs opened after the Yom Kippur War of 1973, when they supported acts of terror against the West and Israel, funded by billions of petrodollars. Because bin Salman wants to modernize Saudis, he has most of the clerics of Islam against him. These clerics, ladies and gentlemen, are the ones who for centuries would not allow Muslims to become so-called westernized or turn into future generations. They use the fear of Allah as the indoctrinating tool to have Muslims submit to their diktats. By controlling the minds of Muslims, the clerics are forever powerful and rich. Look what they are doing in Iran. They removed the Shah of Iran and said he was corrupt. Every single one of the mullahs in Iran is a billionaire. It's not a joke, it's true. They are billionaires. Bin Salman also has infighting within the family, which is never a good sign for the longevity of the dynasty. This is a show. It doesn't mean anything. Islam is inherently violent, and ISIS is the most perfect Islamic entity because it emulates Muhammad 100%. There's nothing to add.
That is an incredibly direct and powerful statement, one with which we completely agree. A week ago, and Sam alluded to this just a moment ago, we had a guest on this program named John Guandalo of Understanding the Threat. And this question was posed to him, and I will tell you the response he gave, and I want to get your response, that the Sunni sect of Islam will battle the Shiite sect of Islam and vice versa. But when those varying sects of Islam have a common enemy, i.e. Israel or the United States, the sects of Islam will unite and fight against the West, Israel, the little Satan, the great Satan, in order to wipe them out. Is that really what's going on here with bin Salman of Saudi Arabia? You said it's a ruse. It's nothing to it. What they're really going to do is what you're saying, they're going to come after us and Israel.
They will never change. By the way, Muslims are not against Israel and Christians and the West only. The Muslims are against the Hindus, 1.3 billion people. They are against the Buddhists, 1.3 billion people. They are against every human being who is not a Muslim. That's 6.5 billion people. So it's not only the West. It's not only Christianity. It's not only the Jews. Islam inherently is the enemy of every human being on the planet, even if they are a Muslim. Why? The Shias call, who are 15% of Islam, call the Sunnis kuffar, and they destroy them. The Sunnis, who are 85% of Islam, call the Shia kuffar, and they destroy them. And both of them, 20% of humanity, call all of us kuffar, who are not Muslim, and they want to destroy us. There is nobody safe on earth from Islam, not even a Muslim.
See, IQ, those are profound, profound things. There are simple principles that you mentioned, but there is such, well, unneeded confusion, blindness, put it that way, on the part of so many people. We only have about 1 minute left here right now. I want to ask you this, is that the Saudis are there in coalition with Egypt, with Israel, anticipating a conflict with Iran, Hezbollah, and Hamas there perhaps on the border. Should Israel fear the Saudi alignment with them in that case, or do you think that Israel can actually count on Saudis to engage with them against Iran and Hezbollah and Hamas?
The enemy of my enemy is my friend. At the moment, Sunni Islam, especially Saudi Arabia and Gulf states, are approaching Israel because both of them are afraid of Iran. Iran is Shia. The Gulf state and Saudi Arabia is Sunni. Iran will have nuclear weapons. The Gulf states don't have nuclear weapons. They will need Israel to help them. It's a convenience. It's a marriage of convenience at the moment. There is no love. It's only convenience.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to it. You've heard a lot of fantastic information. Again, we're going to wrap up the program right now. Gary, I want to go to you and have you close us in prayer in just a second. But ladies and gentlemen, pick up this program by going to Stand in a Gap Radio again, listentoit.com. Pick up the archive, listen to it. Special guest today, IQ Avrasouli. Gary, take us and lead us to prayer here as we wrap up this important program today.
Father, as we come to you, we realize as we read your word that we are drawing closer and closer to the rapture, the first stage of the second coming of your son, Jesus Christ. We realize, in light of that, that perilous times will continue to grow. I just pray, Lord, that you will give the leaders of our nation, the United States of America particularly, as well as Israel, the wisdom and the strength that they need to stand for truth, give protection if indeed there is a breakout in war. And Lord, we just pray that as you protect these nations, the United States and Israel, that you'll get the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Thank you, Gary. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Stand in the Gap today, and we are glad that you have been with us. Our special guest, IQ Arasuli. Go to our website. You can find out more about him and as well listening to this program. Join us again tomorrow, 23 hours from now.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.